Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonnerell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. So we're going to have Tom Tancredo on with us here shortly, we hope. I think it's his opportunity to say, I told you so. I mean, he could be saying, I told you so forever. But want to talk to him about immigration and the whole Denver crisis. And then we want to talk about Russell Brand had a great interview with Tucker Carlson. And then my thoughts on the Taylor Swift conspiracy theories.
You really want Julie's thoughts here. Taylor Swift.
I'll tell you, Rebs.
And I'll give you my thoughts on Taylor Swift.
And Rebs, too. And how about this is now?
And our dog's views on Taylor Swift.
And you've got Tom Tancredo with us. Tom, do you have any views on Taylor Swift?
Absolutely not one thought on Taylor Swift, to tell you the honest to God truth.
You're going to be waiting for the Super Bowl. She'll be up in the player's box with her mother and the wife of Mahomes, and you'll become, but where's Taylor? Where is Taylor? I want my Taylor fix.
You know, I got to tell you, I never, ever saw her ever in my life until the last game when she was hugging him. You know, I guess, I'm sure she's got to be really quite wonderful, right? I mean,
just talented, at least.
$1 billion. I don't know.
There was a funny.
I just don't get it.
You can always get it by those red lips. You look in that whole box, you don't say anything, but this day glow red lips always check out.
Before we get too serious, there's the band.
No. Before we go back to being.
So Brock,
on a lighter note,
Brock Purdy, who is, you know, he's the underpaid quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, right? He makes like nothing a year.
Yeah, because he was the last pick in the NFL draft.
He has to have a roommate. But the Babylon Bee had a funny thing saying he finally gets to see her because he can't afford the concert tickets. But anyway, wanted to talk to you about, I mean, this is, you could be saying, I told you so from now to the end of days, really. But I read with amusement, Channel 9 had a story on saying that the city of Denver, who not just a short time ago had that banner across the city and county building saying, we hard immigrants.
Which no, we course, love immigrants.
But there's a part. Yeah. Of course, they meant illegal immigrants, is now saying they need to change their messaging to tell the illegal immigrants to quit coming here.
Get the hell out of our town.
They've had some 40,000 come through Denver, too many of them staying.
Not through. Yeah. They're right here with us.
And what they're doing is they're having providing, homeless people are screwed in Denver anymore.
Well, just think about this. We've had a homeless crisis for, I don't know, 35 years. The homeless population has fluctuated from about 2,000 to 3,500, 4,000. This is 10 times, 10 times that number.
And again, if you're homeless, you're screwed. They're like, unless you have a Hispanic accent or something. But the city is now starting to tell people. I mean, after they've been there a couple of weeks, they're just kicking them out, and they're like, "We know you don't have anywhere to go." But and the Denver Public
go over
Schools,
to Tom's house.
Yeah, well, Lakewood is going to take them. We'll get to that in a second.
Good for them.
You know, one of the things that struck me is, and Tom, you've talked about this before, and that's the role of the NGOs. So it is the NGOs who are now saying, yeah, we don't have any room. We're going to have to tell people they have to quit coming here. My first question to you is who do they tell? I mean, how easy is it just to tell the illegal immigrants quit coming here anymore?
Well, what do you mean? What entity tells them that or?
The city of Denver is going to start telling them to not come here anymore. And I'm like, what does that even mean, right?
Yes, exactly. And so I saw that they're going to, starting next Monday, right? Telling all these people, sorry, you've overstayed it, can't have it anymore and all that sort of thing. But they'll cry and they're, you know, I guarantee you that will not be a sort of benchmark. You know, yep, that's it. Monday, where they're all gone. Of course not. And they're going to figure out something they can do to hide it. And maybe they'll do something like New York, right? Who the governor of New York and the mayor got together to say that they will issue work permits to 40,000 illegal immigrants in New York, and so that they can go and work, you know, for minimum wage or less.
Because
they'll get paid in cash. But of course, completely illegal, right?
Right.
A state cannot give anybody, cannot give an alien a work permit.
Right.
There is no such thing.
So, and if you're an employer,
try that.
Right. Well, that's, and if you're an employer, that's a bit of a quandary also, isn't it?
Because no, it's not.
It's like, well, I guess if it's a work, well, I mean, a couple of things I want to go through there, because I saw that too, and it's just ridiculous. Number one, I mean, there is giant layoffs. I mean, maybe they can go work at Amazon or something. They're laying, I mean, massive layoffs. The economy is tanking. Yeah. It's not like there are tons of jobs out there.
I think I could probably get military age kid in here for the few tasks I actually do and tell him to do them, you know.
I guarantee you they will, believe me, they will find jobs because they will pay them far less than otherwise and the employer would have to pay, and so that just means a lot of people will be thrown out of work
in
New York.
40,000 of them or something.
Plus if they were to stay in New York City for these jobs, they would be on welfare in nothing flat, right? It would not be just the minimum wage or less that they're getting. It would be they would then go on welfare because they are part of the working poor. There would be, so no matter what, the state of New York is going to be screwed. Who cares? I'm glad to see it. I'm happy about the fact that they're going to get screwed on this, as well as, you know, I'd love to see the same thing happen in California, because eventually you would think, and I'm not going to say that this will happen, I'm just saying you would think that eventually people would go, I've had enough of this crap. And I'm not going to pay the taxes for this. I'm not going to live in the city that's overrun by people who are crapping in the street. And then when you give them a room, they get mad because it's not good enough and they don't have room service. I mean, I think somewhere along the line, it would reach a tipping point. Now, I don't know that to be true, and it certainly doesn't mean that that would be true in Colorado. But all I'm saying is that there is that possibility that people have sort of had enough in a lot of areas.
I tell you what's going to be fun.
It's banging on the table, and it looks like we're having earthquakes. So
it's what's going to be fun is, I don't know, the 40,000, maybe 25,000 are military age males. You get 25,000 military age males, and you've got the gangs in New York. I mean, you're going to have some fun times. Because they're going to get bored at some point, and they're all going to get together, and they're going to start robbing and looting, and, you know, do things that if you're unemployed, you have no hope, you know.
Well, they already are.
Yeah, well, what do they got to lose? And they can't stay in jail because they won't let them. So it'll be
75% of the people coming across that border right now, the millions that have crossed that border in the last several months, the millions, and it is in that range. 75% are draft age males, you know, just as you say. Now, they're not people that are running from just the horrible situation in Argentina or something. No. These people are looking for a lot of different things, including an easy way to make a living, which is to rob, do all the things that they're not going to be afraid of doing because nobody's going to arrest them for anything. And
right.
So, yeah, crime will go through the roof. It already has been in all these places.
And I was going to say, Denver. Oh, keep going. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that in a lot of areas, it doesn't seem to matter. I just can't get over it. What is there about culture in a particular area? Let's just say California. Let's say New York. What is it that it seems like no matter how bad it is empirically proven to be, there is still this unwillingness to do anything significant about it, like throw out every one of the idiots that they've got running those places.
Well, just ask the people in Lakewood. Ask the people in Lakewood.
Yeah, the city of Lakewood is on the verge of voting to go ahead and take, since Denver is kicking all of the illegal immigrants out anymore, Lakewood is apparently on the verge of voting the city council there to take them and to put them in some of their, it's like, and I know we were talking with a former Lakewood City Councilwoman, Ramey Johnson, and she's like, what can we do? I'm like, Chuck and I, like you were saying, it's like, I think you're screwed. I don't know. I'm going to tell you a funny thing. In Denver the other day, I'd never seen this before in Denver. So I pulled up to the intersection at Spear and Broadway, right? And there was a guy with like a Gatorade bottle full of what I guess was windshield wiper fluid and a squeegee trying to see if people wanted us to see.
I've seen that before. It was in New York in the early 80s. The squeegee men were all over the place.
It's like blocking traffic. And people were like, I mean, people in Denver are conditioned that because people were like, but people weren't sure was he robbing you? What was he going to do? But I can't imagine.
It's
you
intimidating.
Can make
They are intimidating.
Yes.
People that you just identified, they don't just come around and go, hi, could I wash your windshield, please? I mean, they oftentimes they're much more demonstrative than that. And they get sort of rowdy. And they really are. I've seen it happen in New York. I was in New York when this happened.
So was I.
Once, and believe me, it's not a pleasant thing. And you can't say, go ahead. Yeah, sure. Wash my window. How much can I possibly give you? Is that enough? $10? What does it take here?
They have one hand a squeegee bottle and the other hand they have a hammer. You're kind of like, would you like a little squeegee?
And who has cash anymore, right? The city of Denver's full of millennials. Like, I guess I could give them an Apple Pay. Or maybe they have Venmo. I don't know. These guys might have Venmo.
That's right.
Well, let me ask you about the role of NGOs, because I think in this Channel 9 story, they were quoting someone from an NGO who was saying that their money was running out. So that's why they were finally getting sick of it, right? But talk a little bit about, and we had Todd Watkins on the other day who was saying that these people come across the border by the thousands a day, right? They get processed and then they immediately go to these facilities where there are these non-governmental organizations set up.
Catholic Relief Society.
Yeah, that are funded with our tax dollars. And explain a little bit how all of that works, because I think that's a crucial piece that I don't think people always see.
There are two organizations that really receive the brunt of federal funding for the support of they just say immigrants, but it's, of course, for illegal immigrants in particular. Catholic Charities, the biggest. Lutheran Charities, second. And I know we're way over $1 billion that we have.
Wow.
Because that was about what we had given out when I left Congress. So I know it's way over that. Now, it wasn't per year, but I remember it was like over a 2 or 3 year period. It was $1 billion to Catholic Charities alone. So it's who knows how much it's grown. So here's how they spend it. For a long time, before the border was open, what they would do is go across the border into Mexico and set up these stations all along the border to give out water, food, packets of materials, about how to avoid being being arrested by Border Patrol. Here's a pathway through and across the border that you can go and you'll be safe. They set up really hundreds, maybe I don't know, hundreds and hundreds certainly of these stations and gave out a lot of material and sustenance. So then when they cross the border, they would provide them with transportation, and they're doing that now still. Maybe they can't do it as much as they were, but they were taking them to these hotels that they had arranged for. And some even bought hotels, and they called them illegal immigrant motels. and they would arrange transportation to all these places, then provide them with, you know, all of the legal help that they would need, and especially what to say, how they should, you know,
no, fear
what they should tell the Border Patrol in order to get their in that line called, excuse me, called you're looking for sanctuary, you know, and
okay.
you
yeah.
And the minute you say the right words, everything comes to a halt in terms of trying to do anything against you. I mean, you're given a time, usually 3 years in advance, when you have to show up for a hearing for your, you know, and of course, nobody does. That's certainly true. But these NGOs will facilitate all of this, and they will hire attorneys to defend these people. So those are the primary expenditures that you and I are paying for, because those are taxed out. Federal government, we appropriate that money to them every year.
Well, and it's insane. I mean, it would be so easy to stop it if you just kept giving them all the stuff. I mean, I imagine, you know, they're complaining in Denver, we need to tell them to quit coming here. I imagine that you don't have thousands of people come across the border and say, oh, we want to go to Denver. They just go, like you said, to one of these NGO places and wherever they're taking them. And they're taking them to sanctuary cities, where I'm assuming they probably have a sister or maybe even just a partner NGO who's now making a ton of money off of them once they get here, right? And so it's just, the corruption has got to be, and these people, I'm sure they don't care, but in the meantime, you know, like you said, they're the vast majority of them are military age men, single men. They aren't coming to Denver, I still don't think, to totally look for work. I know I was seeing a thing, the DEA was having a news conference. They've had record, go figure, record illegal immigration, record fentanyl seizures and deaths. I mean, I wonder if there could be a correlation, you know?
Well, and there's one other thing. And I got in all kinds of trouble for suggesting this, but with the Catholic Church, especially at the time, I said that a lot of the, you know, the wonderful things they're doing to spirit these people into our country, sneak them into our country, was to get butts in pews. I mean, they're losing, you know, they're losing the people coming to church all the time. This is just like the Democrats are looking for that, you know, well of voters. The church is looking for that well of parishioners that'll come in time. And maybe it won't be happening right away, but it will fill up the pews. And oh my goodness, you should. You know, because what happened? Well, oh, this was kind of funny, but I said to it was. I'm trying to think of the Pope, Benedict. And he said something about our immigration policy was immoral. And so I challenged him, and I said, I see the Pope has declared our immigration policy to be immoral. It is the most moral policy in any country, for any country in the world. We take more people in, we provide more for, you know, and I went on through. Well, Dan Kaplis went nuts. I was attacking the Pope.
Oh my gosh.
And I was on the radio with, this was that back then, right? He called and we had this big fight on the radio about this whole thing. And that's when I said, you know, another part of this whole thing is getting butts in pews.
Butts in pews. But then, so these people are all on, not all, but a significant percentage of them are on welfare. So they're getting our tax dollars. So then they can give our tax dollars to contribute to the Catholic Church, too.
Right, so, we're talking about Tom Cancredo, the great former congressman who was prescient 25 years ago.
Talking about the illegal.
You know what I appreciate with Obama and the Biden administration? You know, tens of, well, 10 million people more have come across the border. And you go, how can that be sustainable? That's just going to create enormous havoc. And then it's go, what's your point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Italy, yeah, okay, yeah. So that's a good
that's
one.
All right. You got it, yeah. Of course, that is the point. There are a number of reasons. There, you know, we've gone through what prompts the Catholic Church and Lutheran industry, Lutheran, I guess it's the same thing. What prompts them is a lot of money is involved with this. And to a certain extent, it's a, you know, it's to get more people into their services. But it is also because there is this strong desire for on the left to destroy America.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, put it this way, the America you and I grew up in. In fact, I've got a bumper sticker I'm having made that says, I miss the America I grew up in, dash, the one that even the Democrats loved. And because people, when I was in state legislature, you guys, 100 years ago, we argued about stuff all the time, Democrats and Republicans. Never do I ever recall having an argument about the essence of America. And today, yes, that's everything. They want to destroy this country and turn us into something like a, you know, a European socialist system. And so one way to get there, as I always said, I've talked about this ever since I talked about immigration, is that what you do is you, even legal immigrants that won't assimilate become a big problem for our culture. And they don't, even now, they want the word assimilation taken out of any kind of governmental, you know, dictum or anything like that. They hate assimilation. You know, this goes back, oh my gosh. I remember when there was this guy who was holding a big event at the Civic Center. And I went, it was called Return to Aztlan, right? Aztlan is a word that is used to describe the area of the country that was taken away from Mexico after the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, 1848. And they want it back. And they want, and they gave out this brochure, I'll never forget, and it talked about the importance of not assimilating, maintaining the mother tongue in the public school. They went through this long description of why they didn't want people to assimilate. They wanted them separate. And this is exactly what they're all about. In fact, the guy that was leading that particular event, long black hair, red bandana around his forehead, around it, and he used this big bullhorn. I still remember him because later he did, in fact, cut his hair and put on a suit and ran for the state legislature and won. His name is Federico Peña.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely. Yes. He was leading the thing at the time about Return to Aztlan. But that's what they want. So there are various pressures and viewpoints and reasons that people are so invested in destroying the America that you and I grew up in. Immigration, massive immigration, both legal and illegal, as I say, of people who won't assimilate. And then it's not them not wanting to. We do not let them. You know, we don't want them to do anything that strikes at, you know, even implies that their culture wasn't good enough. Of course, if it was good enough, they wouldn't have come here.
Come here in the first place. Yes.
You know, I don't think they want a European socialist type country, because they spend all their time in European socialist countries trying to overwhelm those with immigration, so they're destroyed. And it's nihilistic
type of thing. Not the people coming, but the people bringing them. It's not those coming across the border looking for. They want socialist goodies, that's for sure.
Right.
But no. This is our political system. It's
right.
The people here who are trying their best. I mean, I heard the other day there's this now demand to get rid of Thanksgiving, right? Why? What in the hell? Well, because Thanksgiving is a purely American event.
And the 4th of July, let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of Memorial Day, Labor Day.
Oh, yeah, all of it.
Right. Well, hopefully people are starting to I mean, people, we talked to you before, and I had a friend who, they were upset because she lives in Central Park, formerly Stapleton, and this was last spring. They closed the rec centers because they were housing illegal immigrants there. Denver schools have tons of these kids coming in, and unsustainable.
And excelling.
And they're not even going to stay, right? They're coming and going and coming and going. You've got Denver Health Medical Center is giving all these people free health care, and they're on the verge of collapsing, they say. And
right,
I still think
right.
The reason they're saying it, none of these progressive organizations are turning around and saying, maybe we should put a stop to this. Maybe instead they're like, so we need more money. Federal money. That's what the his suggestion, his solution is not to close the border. He's even fine with them coming to Denver. He just like wants more money for it. And And I imagine they're going to get it.
They should get it. I mean, look, right now, the $60 billion for Ukraine, $14 million to Israel and all that. It doesn't look so hot. So let's just use that and give $1 billion and a few to Denver.
Get laundered back into the congressional pockets, though. So that's
They can have some kind of mechanism. So Tom gets his shot. He's got it.
Exactly.
Former.
I always keep explaining to people that I don't know if I'm the only one, but I can tell you that there aren't many people who have gone into Congress, spent 10 years, and came out with a smaller net worth than they went in with. But I was one.
Doing it right, Tom. You were not.
You did okay on the presidential side with some speaking fees until one radio host got a hold of that money and plowed it under for you.
Oh, right. Sure. Absolutely. I do. Believe me, two or more are gathered, I will speak, especially the pain. No problem.
The same way.
No problem with that. Before I forget, let me just end that thing about the Pope. So shortly thereafter, after this big blow up, the Pope then came out. He was, he was a very intellectual guy and he had written all this stuff about Islam. And it was not very complimentary, and he was being attacked for it, because I wrote him a letter, another letter after the first one, and I said, and essentially was what the Rocky Mountain News, that's how long ago this was, had a big headline, Tancredo to Pope, hang in there, but I didn't get any.
He didn't write you back.
I didn't get anything back from.
You should write to the newest Pope, Pope Francis. He'd get back to you.
He's
a beauty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, Francis.
Do you think, to me, and as one of our listeners, Charlene, always points out, that the problems and the issues that we're facing here are not bugs, they are features of the program. To me, it seems like unless Trump is elected, this is not going to stop. I mean, they can talk about border bills and all that kind of nonsense all they want. It's not going to stop, I don't think. Do you?
I don't, because Trump, God bless him. I must tell you, never did I think I was going to live to see the day when an American president would do the things he did about immigration. Right. Now, he took a long time to do it, but he did a lot. And what he did was not only important, but it was very, 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 it worked. And so I never thought I'd see it. But look at the crud he took, and I'll tell you right now, he will fight the Senate it doesn't matter who's in control. If the Republicans take over the Senate, he will have a bigger fight than he's got now, because it's the same old thing. Yeah. You and I have talked about this over and over. You know, if you can't figure out why people are doing what they're doing, follow the money. And so right now they're going to cave in on a compromise bill that isn't worth the paper it's printed on in terms of doing anything about illegal immigration. Nothing. It will only pump hundreds of millions of more dollars into an already corrupt and failed system. But those dollars will be used in many ways. And a lot of it will come back to members through contributions to leadership, not to them individually, from Corporation A, B, or C. But Corporation A, B, and C will supply hundreds of millions of dollars to the leadership. And then the leadership, you know, they funnel it out to members. And that's why when you go there and you think, why? And I mean, I was naive about it. Certainly, I couldn't figure out why all my colleagues were walking out on me when I was trying to talk about the issue, you know, and they did. They literally walked out of the room when the very first time I ever tried to address the issue with them and in the caucus and mad, yelling at me. And I thought, what the hell is the deal here? These are guys, you know, a lot of these are conservatives. I don't get it. This is on our side. People are with us. Didn't matter. People may be with us, but the leadership wasn't. And the leadership provides the money to you when you are a member, and you better do what the member leadership wants, or they don't come and they don't send you the money. They don't come and give you, you know, they won't send people to your district to raise, do fundraisers and all that sort of thing. And you'll never get some bills passed that you might really want, and certainly that would help you in terms of fundraising again. And so you get scared to death, and they say, "Oh, gee, you know, I can't do that, Tom." And I had him say it. I had him say to me, "You know, you're right. You're right. I know you're right on this stuff, but man, I can't." Yeah, I did. Absolutely.
Well, Tom, listen, we will let you go. But, you know, you just need to keep saying to everybody, "I told you so."
You got to open up your house and shelter a family or two. Nothing too many.
Okay, buddy.
All right, great to hear you, Tom. Thank you, sir, for your time.
That was Tom Tancredo, former congressman and prescient.
Well, and from the beginning, he's had just, when it was extremely unpopular to say, right? I mean, he's just
still unpopular.
Well, he's just had just a really good and deep understanding of all of the issues involved. And this is from Leo. Oh, come on. All those illegals are software coders and engineers, really. Well, and that's too bad for them because they're all getting laid off too. What did I saw since the first of the year? That's been like 30 days. Some like 25,000 tech jobs have been lost, right? Tech companies are like, they can get the squeegee thing going.
Their own squeegee thing. High tech squeegee.
Gig economy. I mean, I hope that they have Venmo or something. You know what I mean? It's like, who carries, I could say, here's some chiclets or something like that. Who carries cash? But anyway, so that's the latest on that. Denver is now, it doesn't hurt immigrants as much as it used to. At least it won't until they give them more money. I want to talk about something else too. It kind of all ties in with even what Tom was saying is these people hate the country. And there's a great interview. And if you haven't seen the whole thing, it's on Tucker Carlson on Twitter.
It's about 40 minutes, but just fascinating.
It is good with Russell Brand. I mean, you're kind of synopsis of it.
Well, he has him on to talk about one, how Russell Brand was canceled. The fact that Russell Brand was doing this thing and annoying Moderna, Pfizer, and lots of other people. So they decided to do away with them. And how do they do it? Well, they have the Times of London, the most prestigious paper in all of UK, owned by the Murdochs, the Sunday Times, owned by the Murdochs, and Channel 4, owned by the Murdochs.
Whoa.
And they see a pattern there. They spent years, literally years, a couple of years, investigating and talking to all these anonymous women. Now,
Anonymous.
Russell Brand was a free love guy.
He was a star and he was a
he got on stage and I'll have sex with any of you. I don't care. Any of you, just come back here and I'll have sex with you.
This is probably not a wise approach.
He said it really pretty hollow, all that. But all it was consensual. And then all those women said, no, he harassed me. He raped me. No names, just
no charges.
No charges. And then there'd be a conservative MP, Dame somebody, who would call up all these things. Are you going to demonetize Russell Brand? If they said no, they go, well, you're
the only one that didn't was Rumble.
Yeah. And so that was part of it. But it's just this kind of world, his worldview. And 40 minutes of just incredibly articulate. I mean, Russell Brand was at his best, I think Russell said at the end of the show. I mean, he was at his best, so articulate. It's amazing he could do his stream of consciousness flows with many polysyllabic words and just great thoughts. I mean, honestly.
And a big, and so we'll play a couple of sound bites, but one of the things he talks about, which we've talked about, and I think we know, and a growing number of people are beginning to become aware of this, is a lot, so much of what we, it's a PSYOP. And I think COVID was like a massive training manual slash learning manual for them. And he was talking about how, and the media hypes us, we go from crisis to crisis, right? There's always a bombshell coming out, the immigration crisis. But it's, I mean, it's a crisis, but it's a crisis they manufactured, just like COVID. It was a crisis, but it was a crisis they manufactured.
War with Ukraine.
Manufactured, right? The whole thing in Iran, right? We give money to Iran, manufactured and fueled. And he talks about how, their
weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
You know, I mean, you know, the threat to democracy, the insurrection, all of these things are manufactured. And he said, and it's intentional. And he talks about the globalist, and he names them powers that are behind this, right? It's not just politicians anymore. I think he's right about this, are just the puppets. So if we could please play the Russell Brand number one soundbite, Thomas.
And it seems to me that the disempowerment of ordinary people, the condemnation, the demoralization of the public to create people that just are weary and broken and is, if not enslaved, then so dependent it amounts to a form of slavery, cannot be inadvertent. It seems to be a denial of something fundamental that I, in my language, I would call spirit, the right to be who you are. That there isn't something fundamentally ugly or wrong with you, that you are allowed to be who you are. And I see that as a universal principle that will be applied all the way from the left to the right across various ways that people claim their individual identity now. It seems to me that, yes, that if you start to attack those pivotal infrastructural roles, I was struck when speaking to some of the people that you work with, a man that, you know, that's been a cop for 26 years in New Jersey, 35 years in the security first services, like these are people that give their lives for a country. So to tell those people that your country doesn't mean anything, or to alter the meaning of what a nation is, or alter what your contribution has been, it seems to be about a kind of disorientation. And it's difficult, actually, sometimes. The reason I mentioned at the beginning of this rather caroming answer, figures that are broadly condemned as conspiracy theorists, but then aren't we all these days? Is the reason I mentioned them is because they talk specifically about ideas to do with spirituality, morality, and ethics. And it's hard for someone like me to consider that the goals of this global establishment are anything other than power, finance, dominion. But when you talk about this loathing of nature, whether that's human nature or botany or the great expanse, it's difficult to think that there isn't something dark.
Yes,
that is cool.
And it's right. You know, you look at all of the in Congress today, right? They're all, you know, yelling at Mark Zuckerberg about the, you know, using Facebook to sexually exploit children and things like that. And he stands up and he says, "Oh, I'm sorry." He's not sorry, and nor are they going to do anything about it. It's like, oh, there, that solved it, right? They don't care. And I think all of the stuff we're seeing with the transsexual agenda and the grooming it is something dark. I think to allow the sexualization of children eventually means you can sexually exploit children, right? And
if they got anything left to sexually exploit after you sterilize them, cut off their genitals, puberty blockers in them, and really make them zombies. I mean, really, that's what you're doing. You're the gender affirming care. The one thing about Russell Brand that I particularly enjoy, because we were canceled, Julie,
right?
With the Media Matters of Colorado. And because we were pro-Trump, and so, you know, they had to destroy us. And with the aid and connivance of Salem 710, who just placidly sat there and said, ooh, that's terrible. You know, you're off the air forever. You know, because they're too weak and too dumb and too venial to stand up or be for something. But it's almost, I feel like, having been canceled, and you know, they canceled everything. I was a member of the Colorado Hall of Fame. And they threw me
the
out.
Golf Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Oh no, not the Colorado Golf Hall of Fame.
You never went to the meeting.
Throwing me out. No. But it's kind of like you feel you've been through the passions and trying times of your culture. I mean, we've been we've been able to do it and come out the other side.
Well, and the thing is, what's good is, and then it's less effective, right? And Jacob, I see, we'll get you in 1 second. The more they do that to people and the more people stand up, which is happening more and more anymore, right? Then the less effective it is. And in fact, when we were kicked off of YouTube for saying things that we now all know are absolutely true, right? We
had benign things.
Right. We had a friend who said, well, I say worse things than you. How come I haven't been kicked off of YouTube, right? It's like a badge of honor. But Jacob, go ahead. Jacob's got his hand raised.
Here we go. I think the New York City Council did something more dangerous to New York than all the immigration. And that was they overrode Mayor Adams' veto on making the police account for every minute of every day.
Oh, yeah.
All right. They're going to be in that office or in the precinct writing all these notes down, probably 7.5 hours out of the 8-hour day.
Well, or worse.
And you can.
Worst, Jacob, what they're going to do, I've covered cops, for 40 years. What you're going to see is actually the cops are going to sit in their car and they're not going to have any contact because obviously all of that documentation will then be used against you if you're a cop. So you're right. One of two things is going to happen. Either if you try to do your job, you're going to spend all of your time documenting it. Or you're just going to say, what the frick? I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm not going to do anything. I mean, which crime is not going to go down in New York City, I don't think.
And every city council person gets a police watch. There's a cop in front of their house every day, 24 hours a day. And if the cop says, well, you're being robbed, I can't get out of the car because I got to start accounting for everything. You have to understand, a lot of these city council people have records. They were community protesters arrested at one time or another, and this is how they got in. And they don't understand if the business is small or big, they're not going to stick around. They're not going to have to get harassed. Last night there was a guy's he sells jewelry and other stuff in Adams in Arapahoe County. It was on Channel 4, and he finally said his insurance just canceled him because there's too many robberies.
Wow.
All right, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen in New York. The insurance companies are going to say, this is too much of a risk. Goodbye.
And right. They're all going to look at in Denver, they have a more than 30% downtown office vacancy rate. And it's kind of interesting. The headline was that that's not sustainable. It's like, well, yeah, but on the other because then they go bad. But it's like, but how do you stop it? And, I have friends. I had a friend I had lunch with her the other day, and she has, big family, and they come in all the time. And and this person is a liberal, right? And she said, I used to take people down. I kind of do Larimer Square, and then we'd go over to Union Station and
Pittsfield.
And that's what she said. She said her relative said, can we leave now? And so, they said it was, and she said it was dangerous. And she said, this is not at night. This was in the middle of the day in Denver. She said, first, it was just so depressing to see the homeless encampments, but the relatives were like, oh yeah, this is great, Paula, but you're right. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. The next time you see your friend, tell her you voted for it.
Well,
we've had
that discussion politely.
That seems to be the only effective thing that works.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you, Jacob. Okay. That's a good point. Well, and all of this, too, then Russell Brand kind of went on to talk about, and as you said, with the canceling, and I think this is something we all have to be aware of going into 2024. I think the censorship and the crackdowns and the domestic terrorists, all the surveillance, all of this is only going to ramp up. Because whoever wins the presidency, right, they still want the globalist powers need to control the narrative, right? I mean, they can't have people talking.
Well, just about a narrative. The narrative today on the Senate bipartisan border bill, it looks awful for Democrats. It looks awful for the moderate Republicans. So they changed it. And the thing is that now it's Donald Trump who's stopping this wonderful border bill. And just so he can have it as an issue. This border bill would solve everything, but he doesn't want it solved because he wants to have it as an issue.
It's like Donald Trump is like blackmailing people. But you're right. And then they all go with that. And then we'll get to the Taylor Swift conspiracy in a second. But this Russell Brand, this is another good one. Thomas, if we could please play Russell Brand number 2.
It seems to me that authoritarianism now is being deliberately veiled in the insidious language of care, concern, safety and convenience. It seems to me that we're in a time where we lurch from one crisis to another, that the crisis is always used to legitimize certain solutions. And a docile or terrified public is willing to participate in the proposed solutions that usually involve giving up their freedom. We are continually being invited to give up our freedom in exchange for safety or convenience. And it seems that this process is radically escalating. And I feel that this is something that we will see yet more of in the coming year. I feel like, you know, you've spoken publicly about this, that we're potentially on the precipice of serious, and to use your term, a hot war with Russia. And like that's being reported on in my country right now. It's like we're being prepped, groomed, primed for war is coming. That we're being kept in a state of constant anxiety in order to induce compliance. That the ongoing stoking of cultural tension is to ensure that people don't begin to recognize that actually we have far more in common with one another than we do with these curious sets of establishment interests that seem to be transcendent of national democracy. Just to be explicit, I'm talking about organizations like the WHO, NATO, the WEF, yes, and their astonishing influence. Added to that, the types of groups we've discussed already that have been exposed due to Li Fang's reporting, these think tanks and apparently independent organizations who are not independent when you look at where they get their money, big pharma or the government or the military industrial complex or the kind of people they employ. People from deep state agencies such as the FBI and CIA that have extraordinary affinity with the legacy media and their ongoing agenda. So what I suppose I'm sensing is that totalitarianism now will not bear the inflections or aesthetics of the 20th century militarism, guys in medals with moustaches thumping their fists on a desk, will be calmly told by gentlemen with beautifully coiffured hair or elegantly speaking ladies that just for our safety and just for our convenience, we will be returning to our homes. And anyone that has an audience or a base or an ability to communicate with people to disrupt those types of narratives will be identified and destroyed.
Well, exactly. I mean, think Dr. Fauci, right? Mm-hmm. Great hair, whatever, however evil he was. And that, and Dr. Burks, right? The scarf and all that, right? And just gently, easily telling us, you know, hey, look, for your own safety, you have to keep that 6-foot distance. Of course, which they now admit.
They just made that up.
They just made that up. So, but I think he's right.
Well, you had to do it, so it's good. But what I love is the stream of consciousness. It doesn't, you know, the invidious language of safety, concern, and caring. I mean, he has such great phrases in there that he just, you know, rattles off at a machine gun speed.
But he does a great job of explaining it. And it's true. And I think, you know, the answer is, and we'll talk about that a little bit more on Friday, but I think
the answer is...
Well, just speak the truth and to continue to speak the truth. Don't give up. Don't listen to her. No, just say lies. No.
My God. You're going to get every one of them in trouble.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Out there.
Well, I think we need to reconcile ourselves to the fact that, yes, that we're going to be getting in trouble, right? That there's going to be attempts. And then the deep state and this globalist, these people are not going to roll over and say, well, I guess the people want to be free.
Well, it's amazing that it was a Bloomfield Morning Consult poll that in the seven main battleground states, Trump has had in all of them from 2 to 12 points. Which is amazing. I mean,
so that's why we need a war. So just like Nancy Pelosi could use the insurrection crisis emergency to just certify the election, we're going to have a war. Because they don't. I mean, that's my kind of concern. Is they're going to say, because with COVID, okay, we had to have massive mail-in balloting. I think this time, I think this time they're going to say we're not even going to do the election, right? We're not even going to do the election because
the crowd's
going
wild back.
The dog is going wild. Well, and real quickly, Taylor.
I guess we're done. No, the dog is saying you can't talk about Taylor Swift.
We can. I don't think we'll talk about that more. I just think it's funny that they're trying to say that Taylor Swift, who I'm sure is a liberal, is a secret ploy of Joe Biden's.
I bet she is.
And then the whole romance thing.
I bet they're both paying him, you know, $250 million each, you know, saying, and then get together with the Bidens and the Clintons and the Obamas for some big thing, and the Kansas City Chiefs can come out. Oh, it's great.
And the whole thing is just to get everyone. Yes. I don't know. I mean,
Julia, you're so naive. You are so naive.
Like Taylor Swift's fans are like 14. They're trying to change the voting age there, though. Yeah, maybe that's 14. Why. Two 14.
So if you hit 14. A girl in your puberty, you can vote.
Yeah, they won't let guys vote, though. Reb does not like Taylor Swift. The boys do not like Taylor Swift.
The whole time we were watching the game, and God, not another Taylor Swift fighting.
So that's a tricky thing for them. They're going to have as many people who don't like Taylor Swift as do like her. I do think it's funny, though. You got to love Donald Trump because he responds. I mean, and it's clickbait, but he responds and says, I have way more followers than Taylor Swift. So, which I don't think is maybe followers is vague. So, hey, that'll wrap it up.
That's it for all you Swifty fans.
The Swifty fans on Friday, we're going to have Dr. Joshi. Yay, a good candidate has jumped into the race in CD8. Yeah. So we've got some great grassroots candidates running in many of the districts. So that's good news. And I found a video, you guys, you're going to want to see this for Party Friday too.
All right, you know it'll be good.
That's right. Thanks to Tom Tancredo. Thanks to everybody on Zoom.
Take care.
Yep, we'll see you all on Party Friday.